Today on Real Life Radio.
Your life left alone to itself, according to God's Bible, is polluted. And Jesus says, bring it to me, and I'll refund it, and I'll transform it.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 10, continues a series called The Why Series. The desire to pray comes from knowing that God loves us and is always there for us. It's prayer that develops within us the loving character of Jesus and our own capacity to love and care for others. Together, we've been learning about the power of prayer. To live and move in an attitude of prayer no matter what's going on around us. We see how walking in the Spirit brings wisdom and clarity to those who ask for it. Even in the face of hostility, believers can find confidence in God's Word, knowing that the Holy Spirit resides within us. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we as believers can trust the Holy Spirit to equip us for the work of the ministry. God didn't leave us without help. He gave us the Holy Spirit to ignite our passion to spread the gospel and to help us in our purpose for living. And now in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 10, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
According to church history, Paul was a very, very petite man. He wasn't a big guy. We know from the book of Acts that he was an extreme student of the Bible. We know that according to church history that his eyes were very inset toward his nose. His eyes were very close together and his nose was very bird-like, like a beak. He was a very unattractive person. His eyes squinted. He squinted often because he had eye disease. And he almost lost his eyesight completely by the time he died. We know that he mentions it a couple times in some epistles. But that he was severely bow-legged, probably from riding a horse or camel with all of his life's journeys, severely scarred from all of his beatings for Christ, but an intellect that has quite possibly not been matched. He was an absolute genius of a man. Not easy to listen to. His voice was not comfortable. He was not the orator. The Bible says he was mighty with his hand, with his pen. The Bible tells us now he's about ready to be beheaded in Rome. If you'll ever get a chance to go, I don't know if we'll ever get a chance to go to Rome again in this life, but you can go to the Mamertine prison where Paul spent his last night on earth. It's still there. It's kept for you to visit. He said, and he wrote from that location, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." You'd think he's getting on an airplane. Doesn't sound like a man that's gonna die in a moment. Listen, my departure, he doesn't say my end is at hand. He says my departure's at hand. I'm going somewhere. Paul, where are you going? With no bags, with no luggage. I have fought the good fight. This is what I want for all of you. This is what I want for me, for us. Yes. To lay your head down on your deathbed and be able to say, you know what? Of course I could have done better. Of course I could have prayed longer, could have read more, but I fought the good fight. I finished my race, the race. Definite article before the word race, it's his race. You have your race. I have my race. Don't try to run somebody else's race. You look like an idiot. You run your own race. Don't try to be the next Billy Graham when you're not. Everybody in Calvary Chapel tries to be Chuck Smith. Oh, you know, and you try to, no, don't do that. It doesn't work. God died for your sins, not your personality. That's important to know. Stop trying to be somebody else. He made you the personality that you are. See, well, I don't know. You don't need to know. Just yield it to him. Amen. Okay? And finish your race. You stay in your lane. I'll stay in mine. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which is funny. He's going to get his head cut off. Where do you put a crown? He's talking about the moment he dies, he's in glory. He's going to be getting a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. His calling us is to a destination. His calling in your life, he wants to use you now because he's got a target landing. He's got a termination point for your life, and you want to live your life for Christ to the fullest until that moment happens. And when that moment happens, you'll be able to say, I fought the good fight. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. Number four, be encouraged. The Holy Spirit has ordained us. You say, what do you mean ordained us? I thought you got to go to seminary to be ordained. I thought you had to go to university to be ordained. Listen, God ordains. You think a university or a seminary has got the power to ordain people? Only by the IRS? Not by God. Human things can't ordain anybody. John chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus says, behold, this is part of the ordination to all of us. Behold, I send you out as sheep. It's like graduation day. I'm sending you out as sheep. Woo, yay, in the midst of wolves. What? Yep, therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Can you imagine all these sheep? They got their little cap on. They got their diploma. The Holy Spirit's going to use you. Yay! He's going to send you out to the world. Giddy up. Okay, you go. Here we go. Oh, yeah, and by the way, I'm sending you out in a world that is going to try to eat you alive. How do you survive? Jesus. Ordination by God. You can hold up your degree. You can even put garlic on it. It ain't going to happen. Satan doesn't tremble at that. But every Christian has been ordained to a work. John 15, verse 5. John 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine. Jesus is speaking. I am the vine. You are the branches. Isn't that great? I'm your source of all your nutrients and all of your energy and all of your existence. You're not. Isn't that comforting? Stop worrying. Jesus is the vine. You're just the branch. You're just, he's the vine, right? And we're the branch. We just hang in there. He who abides in me, abide. The word means to take up residence. He who lives in me, he who lives with me, and I in him, bears much fruit. Speaking about a supernatural, natural effect. For without me, you can do nothing. You did not choose me. Verse 16, sorry, that's John 15, 5. And then it jumps to John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you or ordained you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. If you are all about glorifying God and producing a life that honors him, expect Jesus to answer some pretty radical stuff. Number five, I have to hurry. I'm certain there's no clocks in heaven. There's no way. End of the clash means, Christian, you can be encouraged because the Holy Spirit is going to equip you. He equips you. He's committed himself to equipping you. In Ephesians 4, 11 and 13, we can trust him to equip us. He says there, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. By the way, this is one little tiny list of the gifts of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are many more. For the equipping of the saints, for the working of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a complete, that is the word perfect or complete, it means sanctified man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Huge statement. It means that God the Holy Spirit is working in your life to have you, by his power, reflect the nature of Jesus. And all you're supposed to do is hang in there. Is to live with God. And I'm going to give you this passage, but I won't read it for time's sake. Read Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, about more of the gifts and the use of you by the Holy Spirit. It's beautiful. Those gifts that are listed, the gifts of mercy, the gift of giving, the gift of helps. These are things that you will love. Listen, when God gives you a gift to operate by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will not say, gosh, you know what? I have the gift of healing, but I really hate it. You know what? God gave me God gave me a gift of mercy, but I'm just, oh, I'm so tired of it. That will never happen. God will stir up your heart and you will be fully turned on regarding the gift of mercy. Those gifts listed in the Bible are so cute because when you see God moving, somebody could come down this aisle, right? And they're coming down the aisle and they're looking for a seat or whatever, and they trip and they fall. You know what happens? This is real. If that were to happen, people with the gift of mercy, the first ones on the scene are the people with the gift of mercy. The people who don't have the gift of mercy will go, oh man, that would have been amazing to have on my camera. But did you see that guy fall? Where? That guy over there, he fell. Look, that guy right there. They don't have the gift of mercy. Right now, I'm telling you, they don't have it. So the people first there, they have the gift of mercy. This is for real. They go, oh, are you okay? Are you okay? And then, your books went everywhere and your notepad and your pages. You know the person who has the gift of helps? They're picking up all the stuff. The gift of mercy guy is taking his pulse and getting the bandage. The guy with the gift of helps is getting all of his stuff together and coming back and saying, here's your stuff. Okay? And let's say the guy needs to go to the hospital. The dude with the administration, the gift of administration. It's a gift in the Bible. He's on the phone. Hey, 911, we got to get this guy here. Here we come. This guy doesn't touch anybody. He just takes care of it all. We need these guys in the church. We need them. We have to have them. And then the Bible has the gift of giving. What is that? Exactly what it is. God blesses some people with an abundance and they don't even care. I know people like that. People that are worth millions, they don't care. They don't care. They don't care. They buy their shoes at Kmart, and Kmart's not even in business anymore. They don't even care about nothing. They don't care. And what they do is they do this. Oh man, so what happened? That guy fell down. He broke his leg. He's gonna go to the hospital. He doesn't have any insurance. Oh, I'll pay for that. I'm dead serious. And then it just goes on and on. The evangelist goes to the hospital, the gift of evangelism, and gives him, it just never stops. The guy gets saved, then he goes to a church, the guy with pastor teacher. It's the body of Christ. It's wild. That's why this is transcendent. That's why this is not essential or non-essential. It's transcendent. This is not a company. It's a living, breathing body. Nobody can love each other more than you love each other. It's impossible. It's a divine thing. It's remarkable. And so, almost done. Number six, there's seven total. Number six is the fact that God is anointing us into the ministry. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, remember, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. I love that. Number seven, be encouraged, Christian, because the Holy Spirit is deploying us. He is deploying us right now. Every single one of you. The Holy Spirit tonight is all about deploying you into the world in which you live. Because our God doesn't waste anything, I'm very curious to see what he's going to do when, since May 31st, you and I are meeting people, driving every week from the city of Ventura. People driving up from San Diego. I met a family that drives up from San Diego on Saturday and stay in since May 31st, they're staying in a local hotel on Saturday nights to come to church on Sunday. Listen, a guy flew in his airplane for church, his private plane. He flew to the airport here down the road from Phoenix to go to church. Why? And you know what he said? My church isn't open. Here's the thing. God doesn't waste anything. See, well, that's just somebody's curiosity. God doesn't fall for that. It may be their curiosity, but he'll turn right around and redeploy them back into Phoenix or back into Ventura or back into Las Vegas. There were people here last weekend from Las Vegas yet again. What is that? That's God equipping you with the word by the Holy Spirit, not to bottle you up, no, to uncork you, to literally have you go to your ends of the earth. We've been asking God, we started last Wednesday night, that God would move in California. We're going to do that for 21 days, and I hope you remember. I'm going to ask you all to stand right now. Before we do that, I'm going to ask tonight if we'd bow our heads in prayer first. And I'm going to ask you this evening, while we do enter into prayer, before we pray for our state, I'm going to ask you tonight if you might acknowledge, because he's working in your life, that you might acknowledge. And I'm not saying jump up and down. I'm just saying to raise your hand tonight as we pray. You don't need to do anything other than that at this moment. But tonight you'd be saying yes to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Listen, if any of this stuff made sense, and I know that if you're not a Christian, you're thinking, what is he talking about? I'm talking tonight about you surrendering, ending your life. I'm talking about you tonight ending your life and giving it to God. When we end our lives, we put a gun to our head or a pill in our mouth. The Bible says that there's a way of man's thinking, and that way always leads to death. But tonight, when you bring your life to him, you're returning it back. You know, you see these cups and bottles that say, you know, 5 cent, 10 cent refund. They do that so that the land is not polluted with stuff everywhere. Your life left alone to itself, according to God's Bible, is polluted. And Jesus says, bring it to me, and I'll refund it, and I'll transform it. If any of this has made sense to you tonight, tonight's your night. So let's pray. And you be honest. How's that? Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you. Lord, as we prepare our hearts tonight to praise and to love and to thank on you, Almighty God, we again ask you, Father, I think this is, of course, our seventh day of praying for our state. And I'm already radically encouraged. It's you're answering our prayers. People are rekindling their relationship with you. People are finding you for the first time. People are coming back after decades of being away from you. People are finding the Word of God. So we thank you for that. But tonight, as our heads are bowed, Christians, please be praying right now. Maybe there's somebody here, or maybe there's somebody watching. And the hour of decision's upon them right here, right now. So without any delay, as I look across the sanctuary, Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, and he didn't qualify how many men, is it a man, is it a lot of, it doesn't matter, as opportunity provides. Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before man, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny Christ, the Bible says that he, in the end, will have to deny you, because you wouldn't have him. And tonight I'm going to ask you that if you want the forgiver of sins, the lover of your soul, the sacrifice on the cross, Son of God, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world and your sins and mine, if tonight is your night to become a follower of Jesus, I'm not even going to say Christian, because people mess with that too much. I'm not going to say any other thing than this: to follow Jesus. If you want to decide now to follow Jesus, to be a follower of His. Put your hand up wherever you may be. Nobody looking around. It's private right now, please. Raise it high so I can see. Okay, keep going. My goodness, let's pray. There are so many of you. This is what we're talking about. God is moving. He is moving. So listen, those of you with your hands raised, now that I know who they are, everyone, you can lift your hands, everyone. God knows, God sees your heart. Those of you who lifted your hands a moment ago, those of you who maybe even want to join in with them and recommitting your life to Christ, for that matter, it's not a bad idea to recommit your Christ every day. Those of you who lifted your hands, will you say this? Will you mean it? I come to you now, Lord Jesus Christ, and I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I want to give you my life. I'm desperate. I'm in need of you. I want to live. And so tonight, I proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who died for me and rose again from the grave. Tonight, Almighty God, I decide to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, everybody, that's amazing. It's amazing. So many of you, here's what we'd love to do. At the end of this song, if you can, I hope you can, take about 5 minutes of your time. When this song is over, there's a prayer room door right there. We want to give you a Bible. We want to welcome you to the family of God. Yes. Take just a few moments of your time. It's well spent. And send you on your way and making sure that you're connected to a Bible teaching church if you're out of the area. But tonight, the decision you made, I want you to know, you being here tonight, it's not an accident. You might say, well, it's a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. It's not an accident. God knew. He knew all about this night before you ever got here. He's God. He knows. Listen, to those of you who raised your hands, He said that He'll never leave you or forsake you. Amen. Today, your walk, tonight, your walk with God begins. It is a journey. It is difficult, but it is awesome. It is challenging, and it is rewarding. It is awesome. God bless you tonight. Go in the peace of God. Go in the grace of God. May His joy, may His face be upon you in every way. Let's bless Him in our song of praise in Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 10. We're glad you joined us today. You know, The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 10, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life as we look to God for all the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, as the body of Christ, we all have our talents and gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us. And as we face challenges and setbacks, we need the right tools to help us along the way. That is exactly where we can help. The Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app for your smartphone or tablet is designed to give you on-the-go access to scripture, devotions, all sorts of media, along with all kinds of topics and speakers that you can tap into. Also, a lot of videos on prophecy and important news updates that really matter to you. So, when you need a little break from the chaos of this world, you can stay on course with all that Pastor Jack has to offer right there at your fingertips. You can access the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app through the App Store or from our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.